No, I plan to finish up the Song of Solomon, have it all right here. But I think what I want to do tonight, simply because we're starting a little bit late, is to just talk a little bit about the glory of the Lord and to talk a little bit about the Shekinah. Do you know what you mean or what I mean when I talk about the Shekinah? If you talk about the word Shekinah, you don't have that word in the Bible. That is a word that was coined by the rabbis. It is based upon a word that is found in the Old Testament. It comes from the verb to dwell, which of course would indicate the dwelling of the Lord, or it's connected with the word that is used for tabernacle, Mishkan, which is the place of the dwelling of the Lord. So if you talk about the word Shekinah, even though it's based upon the verb to dwell or the place of dwelling, we do not have that word found anywhere in the Bible. But nevertheless, it is a term that reflects what we read about in the Bible. Now, I want you to go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 13. And I want to read this statement here in Exodus chapter 13. This, of course, takes place during the time when Israel was emancipated from slavery in Egypt. And this is at the very end of Exodus 13. And I want you to notice what we read in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. They've just been emancipated from Egypt, and we read, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Now we simply read of this cloud and the way that it appeared during the day and during the night and how it guided and directed Israel. Now look at chapter 14. Pick up the reading in the 19th verse. "And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud in darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so that the one came not near the other all the night." Now turn, please, to Exodus. Look at chapter 24. Let me pick up the reading in the 15th verse. "And Moses went up unto the mount, and a cloud covered the mount." Notice cloud. Cloud covered the mount. "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went unto the midst of the cloud, and got up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now I want you to notice in the 15th verse, he mentioned the cloud. Then in the 16th verse, he uses the word glory of the Lord to describe that cloud. Then you come to verse 17, and we read, "The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire." So we're reading of what the rabbis referred to as the Shekinah. It comes from the verb to dwell, that we think of the place of dwelling, and we read of it in the sense of cloud, and then the cloud is described as the glory of the Lord, which is described here in verse 17, like a devouring fire. Now come to chapter 40 of Exodus, and notice what we read here. Exodus chapter 40. We read of the construction of the tabernacle. We read in verse 33 that the tabernacle is reared up and Moses finished the work in terms of the tabernacle. And then we come to verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not until the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now, when you read this in verse 34, we're reading of the cloud, and he uses the glory of the Lord as parallel with the cloud. Then you come to verse 35, you read of the cloud, you read of the glory of the Lord, you read of the cloud in verse 36, the cloud in verse 37, and then when you come to verse 38, the cloud is further described as, upon the tabernacle by day, fire was on it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. Now when you read of the cloud, when you read of the glory of the Lord, we're reading of the Shekinah. So the question would be, well, what then does Shekinah mean? Since Shekinah is not found in the Bible, it's a term that was coined by the rabbis, even though it's based upon a word found in the Old Testament, dwell and place of dwelling. So what does it mean when you talk about Shekinah? Well, obviously it would mean the apprehensible presence of God. The presence of God is something that you can apprehend. But what further would Shekinah mean? How about this? The visible manifestation of the invisible God. So when we talk about the glory of the Lord, the kavod of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, seen in terms of this cloud by day or fire by night, that is the Shekinah. That is the visible manifestation of God. And that visible manifestation of God descended upon the tabernacle and then, of course, guided and directed Israel during their journeys. Would you notice Numbers chapter 9, verse 15? Numbers 9. Verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, that's in Exodus 40, the cloud covered the tabernacle. That's the Shekinah. Namely, the tent of the testimony. Testimony because it had the testimony of the law, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Namely, the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So obviously, the Lord guided and directed them by His visible presence in terms of this cloud. So when you read it, their responsibility was to follow the manifestation, the visible manifestation of God. And when that visible manifestation rested there at the tabernacle, He says, it doesn't matter, we're talking 2 days, a month, a year, they tarried there. But the moment that cloud removed, whether it was day or night, they were to follow the Shekinah glory. So when you read this, even though we do not have the word in the Old Testament, it's a term coined by the rabbis, it is based upon the Hebrew verb to dwell. It's based upon a place of dwelling, the tabernacle. But we're talking about the visible manifestation of an invisible God. God is spirit. So this is the visible manifestation of God. That is the Shekinah. And the visible manifestation descended upon the tabernacle and guided and directed Israel until finally they entered into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. Now I want you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. And let's read a statement here. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37. And we're reading of the reign of King Solomon. So we come to 1 Kings chapter 6. And I want you to notice this as I read it. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign was the foundation of the house of the Lord, that's the temple, laid in the month Ziv. In the 11th year, in the month Bol, which is the 8th month, was the house, the temple finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Now we're talking about the construction of the temple. Now remember, the tabernacle was dismantled, and the tabernacle was placed within the temple. When you talk about King Solomon, when did he begin to reign? 971. So if the beginning of the temple took place in his fourth year, we're talking 967. And if the temple was being constructed for 7 years and completed in the seventh year, then of course we're talking 960. So when you talk about the first temple on the Temple Mount, King Solomon's temple, the construction began in 967 and was completed in 960. When it was completed, the temple was completed, what happened? 1 Kings chapter 8, would you notice what we read in verse 10? Chapter 8, verse 10. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, the temple, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So now, just as the Shekinah descended upon the tabernacle, now the Shekinah descends upon the temple. And you have the visible manifestation of God radiating out from the first temple, Solomon's temple. Now, if you remember, you have the glory of the Lord there until the time just prior to the Babylonian invasion. And just prior to the Babylonian invasion, the Shekinah departs from the temple. We're only told this by the prophet Ezekiel. Would you turn, please, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8? And let's notice what Ezekiel says concerning the departure of the glory of the Lord, which is the Shekinah. This is Ezekiel chapter 8. You read of the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel 1, but I want to read of the glory departed. Chapter 8, verse 4. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Now look at chapter 9, verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the temple. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub, stood over the threshold of the temple, and the temple was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Look at chapter 10, verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and every one stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. Come to chapter 11. Look at verse 22. Then did the cherubim lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain. Notice now, notice, stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city, which would be the Mount of Olives. So he visualizes, he sees the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, progressively leaving until finally the glory leaves from the east of Jerusalem, from the east of the Temple Mount, from the Mount of Olives, and the glory departs. Do you remember the time of the judge, Eli? Now I want you to just listen to something as I read it. Now listen to this statement. This is the account of the judge Eli. He was 98 years old. His two sons had just been slaughtered by the Philistines. But the ark of God was taken. And the text says, it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke and he died. For he was an old man and fat. And he had judged Israel 40 years. He dies. Now listen to the account. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his son's wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said to her, "Fear not, for you have borne a son." But she answered not, nor paid attention. And she named the child, you remember? She named the child
Ichabod, Ichabod,
say, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because her father-in-law and her husband, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel for the ark of God is taken. Well, if you think of glory, glory is kavod. Ichabod means the glory is gone. The glory is departed. And that's what we read in Ezekiel chapters 8 through 11. Ichabod. The glory is gone. The glory is departed. The Shekinah is removed. And as a result, the Babylonians come under Nebuchadnezzar II and they destroy the temple. And they take them into captivity, as you recall. Now, what is important to understand is that the glory never returns. So they're in captivity for 70 years, you remember. And then they return back to the land under the Persians. What do? They build a second temple. It is Zerubbabel's temple. When is it finished? 516. 516. But there's no glory. There's no Shekinah. It's absent from the second temple. So when you talk about the glory departed from the first temple. The first temple is destroyed. They rebuild a second temple. They bring back some of the furniture from the first temple, but they don't bring back the ark. The ark's gone. And the Shekinah is gone when you talk about the second temple. So you move into the time of the first century. When you move into the time of the first century and you talk about the temple in Jesus' day, isn't that the same as the second temple? Yes, it is. Because there have only been two temples on the Temple Mount. But we think of it as Herod's temple. That's correct. Because Herod expanded it and beautified it. He began the construction in 19 BC and it wasn't finished until AD 64. And there were thousands of individuals in construction in terms of this temple, which brought about incredible employment in terms of Israel. But when you talk about the second temple, there was nothing in the Holy of Holies. Nothing was there. The ark was gone. The ark disappeared just prior to the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar II, and the Babylonians destroying the first temple. What happened to the ark? We don't know. There's a thought that Jeremiah took the ark down into Egypt. There are those who will say Jeremiah took the ark and brought it down to Sinai, and it's there. Many believe that Jeremiah buried the ark under the Temple Mount, and it's there under the Temple Mount today, buried. So some would say that the ark is in Egypt. Some would say it's down in Sinai. Some would say it's on the Temple Mount, buried under the Temple Mount. But the ark is gone. The ark was gone before the Babylonians came. Something happened to the ark. So when they build a second temple, nothing in the Holy of Holies, it's empty. And the Shekinah is gone. So when Herod comes upon the scene and does the various things that we read about, there's nothing in the Holy of Holies. It's empty. Do you remember when the Roman general Pompey came to Jerusalem in 63 B.C. and this area was annexed to Rome in 63 B.C. He had heard an awful lot about the Holy of Holies. And he believed that the representation of God was a donkey head that was in the Holy of Holies. So he was determined to go into the Holy of Holies and see this visible representation of God that the Jews were worshiping. And we're told he was absolutely stunned because he went into the Holy of Holies and there was nothing there. So when you talk about the Shekinah, We read of the Shekinah in the Old Testament guided and directed Israel as it descended upon the tabernacle and guided and directed them. Then the tabernacle, which was temporary, was dismantled and placed in a permanent place, the temple. And when the temple was completed, 960 BC, the Shekinah descends upon the temple. And the Shekinah is there until the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And when you read this period of time, Ezekiel is the one who describes it. And Ezekiel describes, Ezekiel 8 through 11, the Shekinah leaving, the glory, the kavod leaving from the east of the city. Ichabod, the glory is gone, the glory is departed. And the glory never returns. Even when they rebuild and they construct the second temple, the glory doesn't return. It does in a veiled way. When Jesus goes to the temple during his visits to Jerusalem, that is the Shekinah. That is the glory. But it was veiled and no one could really see it. But he was the very manifestation of God. People just didn't understand it. So when Jesus came to the temple, the glory returned in the person of Jesus. But it was concealed. No one could see it. It's the reason why when you're reading the New Testament, do you remember James, when James says, when James speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in James 2:1, and he says, the Lord Jesus, and then in apposition says, the glory, the glory. Now, why does he say that? The Lord Jesus, the glory. Because he wants us to understand that the Lord Jesus is the very manifestation of God. If you want to talk about the kavod, if you want to talk about the glory, if you want to talk about the Shekinah, it's all found in Jesus Christ. That's what James wants me to understand. And remember, James was the half-brother of Jesus, as he records it in James 2:1. So there were times, of course, that the glory came back. But no one really knew that because no one really knew the true identity of Jesus. Which is really, you know, absolutely amazing. But the New Testament emphasizes the whole concept of the importance of the glory to Israel. Listen to a verse in Romans. And it's just a little passing comment. But listen to this. Paul says in Romans 9, 3 and 4. For I could wish that myself were separated from Christ for my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Then he describes them. Who are Israelites, of whom pertains the adoption and, you remember it? And the glory. And the glory. And then he says, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. But he talks about the glory. That's the Shekinah. That came down upon the tabernacle, that came down upon the temple, that Ezekiel saw leave the temple from the east. And the Shekinah never came back. First temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. Persians allowed them to return. They built a second temple. Nothing in the Holy of Holies. Shekinah not there. 63 BC, Pompey goes in there. Nothing there. So you go into the first century, and we think about Jesus of Nazareth, and we recognize that the glory was, of course, Jesus, and yet people did not really know it because the glory was concealed. Do you remember John's words in John 1:14? And the Word became flesh, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled. He pitched his tent among us, and we beheld his glory. So when John says that in John 1:14, he's going back to the tabernacle, going back to the Shekinah. He pitched his tent and we beheld the glory, and the glory was there in the person of Jesus. So when you read this, of course, I think of the glory of the Lord. I think of this visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament, which finds its embodiment in the person of Jesus. And there are times, remember, in the New Testament, there are times when the glory radiated out. Mount of Transfiguration, when it was on Mount Hermon, up in the north of Israel, in Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 9, you remember? Transfiguration. The glory came from within and radiated out. So there were times when individuals received a glimpse of the Shekinah, the glory. But most people during the time of Jesus didn't see it. And so Jesus died. He was crucified. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. He was here for 40 days during his post-resurrection ministry. And then we read of his ascension in Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, and Acts 1. And do you remember what we read? Let me read it. Listen to the way Luke records it. Now listen to this. This is in Acts chapter 1. This is the ascension. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And a cloud. And a cloud. That's a glory cloud. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. You mean he ascended from the Mount of Olives? Yes. And the angel said he's going to come back just like he ascended. He's going to descend just like that. Yes. And he was on the Mount of Olives when he ascended. Yes. So he's going to descend back on the Mount of Olives. Yes. He's going to come back from the east. So when you read Ezekiel, you know what Ezekiel tells us? I saw the glory and I saw the Shekinah glory depart from the east of the city. From the Mount of Olives. Chapter 11. Do you remember Ezekiel 43? Turn there, please. Ezekiel 43. Notice what we read. Verse 1. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looks towards the east. And behold, the glory, the kavod, the glory of the God of Israel came, now look, from the way of the east. And his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. He sees the Shekinah returning from the east. That's the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. He comes back to the Mount of Olives. The Shekinah returns to the earth. And Ezekiel describes it in this chapter. Look at Isaiah chapter 60. Notice what we read in Isaiah chapter 60. This is the results of it. This is what's going to happen. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory, the kavod of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory, his kavod, will be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. I mean, you're in the kingdom. Nations coming in terms of the glory, the light, the brilliance of the light, all radiating from Jesus. Do you remember what we read in the book of Revelation? Chapter 21, when we're in the eternal state. Listen to it as I read it. Revelation 21. Verse 22. I saw no temple therein. There was no temple in the New Jerusalem in the eternal state. There was a need of a temple for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light. He's going to illuminate it. And the nations of them who are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Look at chapter 22. Look at verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I mean, this is the way it's going to be. I mean, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, is going to be manifested through the Lamb. The Lamb is the light of the city. And you know what's amazing about it? We as believers are going to share in the same glory. We are going to be partakers of that glory. You say, how do you know for sure? You remember Paul's words in Colossians 1? Verse 27, Christ in you. Do you remember what he says? The hope of glory. The hope of glory. Or do you remember what he says in Colossians chapter 3? When he makes this statement in Colossians 3. Just listen to it as I read it. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our light, will appear, then you also will appear with him in glory. So I think of this Shekinah. It's not found in the Old Testament. It's a term that was coined by the rabbis. But it's based upon a verb, to dwell. It's based upon place of dwelling, tabernacle. And you think of the visible manifestation of the invisible God descending upon the tabernacle, descending upon the temple, departing from the temple, never coming back until Jesus came. Jesus was there. The glory was there in Jesus, but it was concealed, it was veiled, they didn't know it. But one glorious day, just as the glory departed from the east, the glory is going to return from the east, and he's going to establish this glorious reign. And he's going to be the light. He's going to illuminate. Not only in terms of this period of time, but forever. Because Revelation says, in terms of the eternal state, the Lamb is the light of the city. And then we think about all of us who belong to him. We're going to partake in this glory. We're going to participate in this glory, which is talked about all through the entire New Testament. So I would say, this is a glorious kind of thought. If you think of the Shekinah, and you think about what has happened historically, what will happen prophetically, and then to realize that we are part and parcel of all of this. I mean, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's really what it's all about. There have been only two temples on the Temple Mount, but there's going to be a third, and there's going to be a fourth. They'll end up being four. This is the Shekinah.